Piper signs a deal to stay in Vero Beach. The United U.S. Airways merger appears to be off. And American rejects the opening offer from its pilots. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, May 29th, 2008. Representatives of Piper Aircraft joined officials of the state of Florida and Indian River County Wednesday afternoon to announce an agreement that will keep Piper's headquarters and manufacturing facilities in Vero Beach. Florida Governor Charlie Crist was obviously not referring to his state's tax code when he said, quote, "Florida is a state that leads the nation in encouraging aviation. This agreement is an investment in Florida. It represents thousands of jobs and hundreds of millions of dollars in wages, economic development, and other contributions for Indian River County, surrounding local communities, and our state," unquote. Piper President and CEO James Bass responded, quote, "We are pleased and honored to announce our decision to remain and expand our operations. Our decision is not just a vote of confidence for our hometown. It is also a commitment by Piper to Indian River County and the state of Florida," unquote. The announcement ends a two-year evaluation by Piper of potential sites for both its headquarters and a new manufacturing facility for the Piper jet. In the end, concerns over exposure to hurricanes lost out to a $32 million incentive package, which Bass says will allow Piper to make the substantial capital investments required for the Piper jet and other future projects. It appears that the awkward proposed merger of United Airlines and U.S. Airways may have fallen apart over disagreements over which side would lead the combined airline and where its headquarters would be. The New York Times cites unnamed sources in reporting there's been little to no contact between executives on both sides for the past several days, and that designated merger teams have placed the talks on permanent hold. As ANN reported, United approached U.S. Airways after its first merger choice, Continental, elected to remain independent. Pilots at American Airlines made wage and benefit concessions to save the airline from bankruptcy in 2003. That five-year agreement became amendable on May 1st this year, but talks on new terms have been underway for 2 years already. Sensing a need for stronger tactics, the Allied Pilots Association last summer elected a new slate of executives who promised a harder line in dealing with American. The pilots made a starting proposal for a 50% pay raise to bring pay levels back to 1992 levels, adjusted for inflation, with an immediate $1 billion payment to bolster the pension fund. The airline's official response is no big surprise. The Washington Post reports that American has rejected the terms, saying they would add $3 billion to the company's annual operating cost and, quote, "are not in the best long-term interests of either our company or our pilots," unquote. The rejection offered no alternative terms, so the union wants to know from management if that means the talks are in an impasse. That determination means a lot more than just semantics. The contract containing the concessions did not expire May 1st, but became amendable. The distinction is that pilots are still under contract and can't legally strike unless an impasse is declared. If the two sides can't agree that they're at an impasse, the National Mediation Board would have to decide. On Tuesday, bankrupt Frontier Airlines and the Teamsters Union announced a tentative agreement on temporary wage concessions the airline says it needs in order to survive Chapter 11. The deal still faces a ratification vote by 430 union members at the airline. The agreement comes despite harsh words from the union following news that Frontier Airlines executives had negotiated severance packages for themselves, something union members don't get. The airline responded by noting that those same execs had agreed to take 20% pay cuts to help attract a buyer for the company. Teamsters Local 961 president, Matthew Fizakis, is advising Frontier workers to approve the agreement. Frontier's other two unions, the Frontier Airlines Pilots Association and the Transportation Workers Union, already voted to accept concessions last week. Up next on ANN, Phoenix is sending back a Martian panorama. JetBlue is deferring aircraft orders by 5 years. And Russian officials are investigating the crash of an AN-12 transport. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC 700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing from May 29, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Scientists leading NASA's Phoenix Mars mission from the University of Arizona in Tucson sent the lander commands to unstow its robotic arm and take more images of its landing site early Wednesday. Phoenix sent back sharp new color images from Mars late Tuesday. Imaging scientists are making a color mosaic that's now about one-third complete, which shows a fisheye panorama all the way to the horizon. Two more Martian days will be required to complete the picture. The camera is stereoscopic, like the ViewMaster toy, which means 3D photos are also possible. The robotic arm is a critical part of the Phoenix Mars mission. It's needed to trench into the icy layers of northern polar Mars and deliver samples to instruments that will analyze what Mars is made of, what its water is like, and whether it is or has ever been a possible habitat for life. JetBlue Airways announced on Tuesday it plans to defer taking delivery of 21 Airbus A320s originally scheduled to begin in 2009. JetBlue wants to put off delivery until 2014. CEO Dave Barger explained, quote, "In the face of escalating fuel costs, we believe it is essential to take a more financially conservative approach to managing our business. The aircraft deferrals will enhance liquidity and defer future debt obligations. We would like to thank our partners at Airbus and International Aero Engines for their continued support and commitment to the long-term success of JetBlue," unquote. JetBlue is also making more subtle adjustments. The carrier is among several which have admitted they're slowing down their planes in flight in order to save fuel at the expense of a few extra minutes of flying time. In 2006, JetBlue cut the number of available seats on its A320 narrowbodies from 156 seats to 150. While that would appear to reduce revenue per flight, it allowed the airline to advertise extra legroom and also allows JetBlue to fly with three flight attendants per flight instead of four. Fewer seats also means lower weight. On Tuesday morning, Saab conducted the 30-minute maiden flight of its Gripen demo testbed aircraft. The first flight reached 21,000 feet and a top speed of 320 knots. The company describes the Gripen demo as more powerful than earlier versions but just as easy to fly. The aircraft will serve as a test platform for systems and capabilities that will be applied to the Gripen next-generation design, including a more powerful engine and advanced radar, communications gear, and weapons. A Russian-made Antonov An-12 turboprop may have suffered an onboard fire before it crashed in the Urals on Monday, according to official reports and witness statements. The AFP news agency reports the pilot of the large transport aircraft reported smoke in the cockpit and was attempting a return to Chelyabinsk when the plane went down, killing all nine people on board. The crash site is about 7 miles north of Chelyabinsk. One witness, Vladimir Zonov, told Moscow Radio the aircraft came down in a wheat field and may have been on fire prior to impact. Quote, "We saw a big flame as if something had exploded," unquote. Russian President Dmitry Medvedev ordered transport officials to investigate, a process which could include a criminal investigation into a breach of air safety rules. The plane reportedly belonged to charter operation Moskovaya and was on its way from Chelyabinsk to Perm. Still ahead, Cessna sold 88 new aircraft at eBase. A 10-year-old gets past a TSA checkpoint again. And someday, we'll have plumbers in space. You're listening to Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, May 29th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Recession? What recession? Cessna says it wrapped up the 8th annual EBACE show last week in Geneva with 88 new aircraft orders worth almost $750 million. During the three-day event, Cessna wrote orders for 70 Citation business jets, 14 Caravans, and 4 single-engine Pistons. These include 2 orders announced on opening day, 24 business jet orders from Austrian charter giant Jet Alliance, and 20 Citation Mustangs from Russian air taxi operator Dexter. To date, Cessna has received over 500 orders for the Mustang. The orders also include 6 208B Grand Caravans, a 172 Skyhawk, and a 182 Skyline for Air Alliance, one of Europe's most active Cessna Caravan authorized sales reps. Based on unit sales, Cessna is the world's largest manufacturer of general aviation aircraft and reported 2007 revenues of about $5 billion. A brazen 10-year-old boy with a track record of talking his way onto airliners was caught when he tried it again on Tuesday, according to the Transportation Security Administration. The Associated Press reports security tapes show Simaj Booker passing through a metal detector before 5 a.m. at a checkpoint at Seattle-Tacoma International Airport. His mother, who lives with Simaj in the Tacoma suburb of Lakewood, had reported him missing at 3 a.m. SeaTac Airport spokesman Perry Cooper says the boy was detained at 6:35 a.m. while trying to board a Southwest Airlines flight to Sacramento, California. He claimed to be traveling with a man in front of him in line. TSA is investigating to find out how he got that far without showing a boarding pass at the security checkpoint. Simaj reportedly told officers he was trying to get to Dallas. In January of last year, the boy talked his way onto a Southwest flight by saying his mother was already in the boarding area. He even managed to change planes in Phoenix and flew to San Antonio before being discovered. At that time, his mother said Simaj was unhappy living in Lakewood and wanted to be with his grandfather in Dallas. Just days before that attempt, Simaj, who was then 9 years old, 4'9" and 80 pounds, stole and crashed a car in another apparent runaway attempt. He was convicted of car theft last July, but the judge told him he could avoid serving time in a juvenile detention center if he stayed out of trouble for a year. Well, obviously he didn't, and that sentence could now be reinstated. Cooper says King County, Washington prosecutors may file new charges to boot. Hey, I have a question. If the security checkpoints at the juvenile detention center prove more effective than TSA's, is that good news or bad news? The Associated Press reports the crew of the International Space Station is still dealing with a malfunctioning Russian zero-gravity toilet. The solid waste portion of the system is working fine, but the liquid waste portion has been on the fritz since Friday. NASA says a fan motor, used to create air currents to move liquid waste in the absence of gravity, stopped working as one of the station's 3 crew members was using it. The toilet has worked intermittently ever since. In past cases, the toilet has been repaired, but this time, the crew has been unable to get it working reliably. Crew members adapted at first by using the facilities aboard a docked Soyuz capsule, but it became full, and the crew had to quit using it to avoid the risk of simulating an American Airlines tarmac stranding. NASA is trying to find some way to squeeze some spare toilet parts into the Shuttle Discovery's already maxed-out payload. Space station crew members are crossing their fingers, among other things, and using plastic bags until Discovery arrives and docks on Monday. ANN has been unable to confirm a rumor that the problem may have been caused by a crew member confusing the toilet's two independent systems. It seems obvious something hit the fan. Okay, I made that part up. You try to make it through that story without saying something silly. And finally, proponents of space exploration like to argue that we receive benefits to our everyday lives from the technology. But sometimes those benefits are only noticed by rocket scientists. Now, a Japanese company is using space to develop a product even Joe Sixpack can appreciate. The Associated Press reports Sapporo Holdings plans to make around 100 bottles of what it's calling space beer, using the offspring of barley grains that spent 5 months on board the International Space Station. Sapporo executive Junichi Ichikawa told reporters on Tuesday, quote, "We want to finish the beer by November. It will be the first space beer," unquote. The barley was on board the space station to determine whether the fiber and nutrient-rich grain could survive the conditions of orbital space. Well, the grains not only survived, they flourished. That means that someday, astronauts on extended space missions might grow their own barley for food, or maybe even the occasional post-EVA cold one. But is the beer really any better than Earth beer? In a word, no. Scientists have detected no difference from barley grown on Earth. But as the makers of Tang discovered, one of the greatest benefits of products from space is marketing. And this beer has to taste better than Tang. Let's hope astronauts don't get space beer before they get a working space toilet. It really would become their number one problem then. All right, cue the rim shot. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll play you an excerpt from the panel discussion, which marked the 10th anniversary of the Airport Support Network from AOPA Expo 2007. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.